Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Twanda Black. And today, our wealth management expert, Cyrus Hancock, who is CEO of Hancock Wealth Management. We saw this article about pensions, and they're calling it clawbacks. become more common as plans discover they overpaid their recipients. And as I was reading through this, I was just amazed. And I said, Cyrus, we have got to talk about this. Good morning to you, Cyrus.
Good morning, Twanda. Thank you once again for having me.
My pleasure. Tell folks what pensions are. I have a pension now. If they come back and say, I'm going to give you $5, I'm going to be mad.
Well, pensions are the old defined benefit plans. Mm-hmm. You know, they were the absolute best answer to retirement for many, many years. And defined benefit means exactly that. It defines your benefit, your monthly benefit, your annual benefit of income once you retire from a municipality or a corporation. Mm-hmm. Most corporations no longer offer pension plans. Some municipalities, if you work for the state or your local government, still offer such plans. But a pension plan, the employee never contributed to it.
Right.
All the contributions were made by the employer, mm-hmm. who in turn received a tax deduction. But the pension plan, your income was derived from your income that you earned over that period of time, your age, and your years of service. All of that were taken into consideration and calculation to determine this defined benefit that you would receive up on that date of retirement. And it's very clear on what that amount will be.
Right.
You know, you could be 40 years old and say, okay, if I retire at 62, what is that? They can calculate that and give mm-hmm. you precisely what that number will be. But most companies today have gone to the defined contribution plan, and it's exactly that. You define how much you're going to contribute to a plan, such as your 401Ks, your 401, your 403Bs, your 401As, et cetera. Those plans that we as the employee are contributing to, and some corporations or municipalities may match those, and some may not match. So it may just be your contribution solely.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference between the two. So the pension plans used to be phenomenal because 95% of the workforce were able to retire because they
right.
had some form of retirement income other than this Social Security.
Right.
Right. So to date, that is a very rare retirement vehicle is a pension plan.
Well, the stories that I read, the first one was about a guy in a union pension plan, and they sent him a letter and said, we made a terrible mistake. We have overpaid you for nearly two decades to the tune of $97,000, including interest, and they wanted him to repay $66,000.
Yes, and that this story for some will come across as, like, that is bizarre. No way that can happen. Unfortunately, that happens far more than we know.
Mm-hmm.
You take the city of Detroit, who had a filed bankruptcy. You get the city of Detroit's employees that have retired because of the financial stress that the city was under. It may have to come. It may have to go back and reconfigure pension payments to employees. So some of the retirees may have lost income due to the financial stress of the city. The city has the right to go and recalculate, to, you know, reformulate what they can afford to pay the employees. In this case, an overpayment, that municipality or that corporation has the right to go back and require a repayment. And typically, these repayments are requested in a lump sum, too. You know, so if you're unable to pay it, they're going to repay themselves by deducting that pension income from you. Like in this article that you sent, there's one gentleman who was receiving $14.14 a month. His pension was reduced to $5 a month. I mean, that seems criminal, right?
Like,
because it wasn't his
crazy.
Era.
Crazy. Are you kidding?
But by law...
And that was New York City.
That was New York City.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
by law... The municipality can go back and request the repayment, and most people cannot turn around and pay you
no.
$67,000 lump sum in order for me to keep my $1,400 a month of income. Therefore, they're going to begin to deduct it from your pension for the remainder of your life. And this is legal. You know, so part of our conversation always is when we're looking at pre-retirees and retirees, the reason people want to elect to have a pension is because a pension is guaranteed income for life. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what the stock market does, your income will not be affected due to the stock market in the pension, but obviously it can be affected due to the municipality or the corporation's financial strength. So we have this conversation quite frequently, is do you allow your pension or your 401, even 401Ks, to remain with your former employer, or do you roll those over and create the same stream of income? Now, you can roll over a pension. Not everyone is eligible to roll over a pension, but you can roll over pension assets into other vehicles that will perform exactly like a pension that gives you guaranteed income for life. Guaranteed income for life. The beauty of that is, once the money is moving, rolled over, you're not going to run into this issue.
Can I do it like now with a pension plan, or does it have to be upon my retirement?
It has to be up on your retirement, because you don't want to do it now, mm-hmm. because now the employer is continuously making the contribution on your behalf.
Right.
But up on your retirement, when they give you your election options, that's when you get to make that determination. Mm-hmm. And typically we meet with pre-retirees a year before they retire, in some cases three, in some cases a month. People come in within a month. And we begin to say, okay, have you made the election yet? Okay, stop. Don't make the election. Because pensions, once the elections are made, they're irreversible.
Mm.
You can't change it. And in some cases, individuals make elections with pensions that their intentions were to receive a lesser amount up front. So up on their demise, their spouse will continue to receive the same income amount. Well, in some cases, they make the election to receive more up front, and the spouse receives nothing up on their demise because their intentions were to make sure the spouse continues the income, but because of the election that was made, the spouse gets nothing. Whatever is remaining goes back to the company.
Wow.
So pensions are phenomenal, phenomenal retirement vehicles. However, they can be very misleading if you don't understand the terminology.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, the pension was a great strategy. It was the miscalculation of the municipality that created this issue for this gentleman here, who went from $1,400 a month down to $5.
Okay.
And there is absolutely no recourse he has.
And that was my next question. What can we do about it? I mean, I see here some people said you can file a lawsuit, but you're probably going to lose because of the vague labor laws.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
You do. It does not prohibit you from filing a lawsuit, but the probability of you winning that case is minimum. If you look into the research, there has been individuals that have taken the municipalities to court, but because of the way that the labor laws are written, they have the right to go back and recoup the overpayment of the pension income. So it really becomes very pertinent, once again, that before you retire, have some conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have some understanding. Not to say this happens all the time, but it happens more than we would probably ever be exposed
right,
to.
Right.
And, you know, and once again, if you there are some issues in the state of Florida right now with the teacher's retirement account.
Mm-hmm.
There are some concerns. Will it be able to pay the retirees that are coming up in the future?
Mm.
Right. I mean, there are concerns because of the financial market that has taken place, you know, in 2008, you know, financial, because these funds that are invested in these pension funds, they're invested in the market to create this income for these thousands and thousands of employees for, you know, hundreds of years. Because you have a 20-year-old, 25-year-old that's part of the pension plan as an educator, and then you have someone that's 70.
That's right.
You know, that's almost 50 years apart, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at that, how do we invest over the long term to make sure the 70-year-old receives income for the next 15, 20 years, and the 25-year-old we have to invest for the next 40 years to make sure they're
have enough money.
Eligible
yeah.
to have enough money
oh,
to retire them for another 30 years?
Wow.
You know, so that's the concerns with pensions, and that's And when the state of the municipality isn't strong, it creates concerns. Or a corporation, because some corporations still have pensions. Mm-hmm. But very minimum of corporations would have pensions. More municipalities would still offer pension plans to their employees.
Wow. Wow. So, you know, recap for me. At when I retire, the day I retire, I need to come see you and say, okay, I've retired. This is the pension plan. Let me roll it over.
Well, I prefer for you to come before the day you retire.
Okay.
The reason being is because we don't know what the election period, because some individuals say you have 90 days to make an election of what you want to happen with your pension.
Okay.
Some will say you have, you know, 2 weeks from the time you retire. So we want to start to look at where you are and what your financial goals and objectives are. Look at all the assets that you currently have, and we want to take into consideration at what age is the best age for you to receive Social Security income so you can maximize that.
Right.
Because every year that you can prolong receiving income on Social Security, that's an 8% income increase, you know, once you get past the full retirement age of 66. But we take into account your entire financial picture. And then with your financial goals and objectives, we help you make the determination of which election is best for you in regards to your pension. Is it to roll it? And some companies will not allow you to roll over your pension either. That's another.
Can we find that out now?
That's it.
Can we find that out now,
yes,
at this point?
You can find that out now if you are eligible to roll your pension, because some companies are saying, if we're making the contribution, why are we going to give you the opportunity to roll your money over? Just in the event something of this nature happens where we have a tough financial going at this, we allow 400 employees to move their money. We still have, you know, 700 more to deal with. Now we've lost a large percent of the assets, but now we have this financial crisis. How do we overcome? So at least if we retain the money, we can control how much we can pay out or we cannot pay out. So some companies do not permit you to roll over your pension. You have to make an election to receive the income from them. But if you can roll it over, you should explore that. Not to say at all times it's the best strategy. It just depends on what your financial goals and objectives are. Nevertheless, you can, if you have the accessibility to roll it over, it would behoove you not to explore what are the options. Because once again, there are vehicles that exist that will perform exactly like your pension, may even give you a little bit more income, but it will give you downside market protection from the stock market. It will guarantee you your income for the rest of your life. Even if your account went to zero, it still will pay you until your death. Right?
Cool.
And upon your demise, if anything is remaining, it's going to go to your beneficiary. So those vehicles are available. Just because you roll the money out from a pension, you're not losing the ability to receive income for life and protect your heirs.
So let's talk about the other one, the 401k or the B or whatever you may have.
Okay.
When we retire, what do we do with that? Is that a rollover process as well?
That is a rollover process as well. That is a rollover process. When you have a 401k or 403b, you know, once you leave the company, you lose some ability of the benefits of the 401k, which will be your loan provisions. While you're an employee, you can borrow against your 401k, not pay taxes on it. You borrow, and they will obviously take money from payroll to repay it. And then when you retire, if there's any outstanding balance, you know, they will literally, that's going to be deemed as income for you. You end up paying income taxes on that amount unless you repay it all. However, upon your departure from service from those employees, you have the option to roll over that 401k into an IRA. Therefore, when you roll it over, there are no tax implications. Just like a pension, if you roll your pension over to a qualified plan, an IRA, there are no tax implications that you will be liable to pay in that particular year because you haven't received income. You've just taken it from one qualified custodian, moved it to a new qualified custodian. So you haven't personally taken control of that income or that asset. So once you begin to receive income, now you're going to pay income taxes. But Yes, if you depart from service, you have a 401k, a 403b, you should look, you should strongly look with those two vehicles to roll the assets over, to roll the assets over into a diversified portfolio that is tailored for each individual's personal financial risk tolerance, mm-hmm. personal financial goals and objectives, because and all this is considered retirement planning. Retirement planning is, as I said on your show many times, it is probably the most well-known of all financial planning tools. The downside is probably the more important today is the income planning piece that somehow gets left out of the retirement planning. So when you hear us talk about retirement planning, you always hear us say retirement and income planning.
Right.
Because we can roll the money over and create this strategy of how to grow it. But what's the most efficient way to receive the income when you're dealing with distribution? How do we maximize the income? How do we minimize the tax liability?
Yeah.
So when you look at those two vehicles, the 401k, 403b, you should look to roll those assets over when you depart from service. I'm not sure what vehicle is most suited for you. That depends on what your goals, objectives are, where you are financially. All that plays a major role in which strategy or which vehicle to use. But you should roll it over because now you have control. Because when you leave the company, you don't have any control over what the investments are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't really have any control of the investments while you're employed there, but you don't have really any other benefits. The money is just with that former employer's third-party administrator and the investment company that they chose to invest in their 403B or their 401K.
Okay. So, you know, I think about all the time now because I think I got about 15 years before retirement, but, you know, whether I'm going to have enough, what am I going to do in the meantime? But there are so many ways to be able to still live a good life with your Social Security and your pension and your 401k in place, doing the work for you.
That is correct. Now, the thing is, Twanda, you said it right. So you're 15 years away. So now when you've been 15 years away, you know what your number is. And we take into account, when I say your number, your retirement income that mm-hmm. that your goal is to receive. Now, you have to take that into account in today's dollars. That's not going to be tomorrow's dollars.
Right.
Therefore, when you plan, you have to put in inflation, which mm-hmm. we use 4%, a little high, but you'd rather have more money than not enough
exactly.
money when you retire.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at that and you begin to plan for retirement today, you will plan for that number, which is this is the amount that I need to try to grow my assets to in order for me to have the income I want to receive. Then the income piece of that is, okay, so how do I begin to receive the income to reach that goal? Well, it may be in what we call a bucket approach,
mm-hmm.
where you may take income from, say, your 401k for 10 years at this level. So let's just use $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe enough income in your 401k that you can receive $30,000 a year for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then we stop receiving income from the 401k. Then we may turn on your pension at that point. So you begin to receive your pension income in conjunction with your whatever's left in the 401k, or we may turn it off completely,
mm-hmm.
but you receive your pension income for another 5 years by itself. Then you turn on your Social Security. Now your Social Security and your pension is, you know, paying out for the rest of your life. So you use a bucket approach opposed to using one income approach to say, let's turn all our income streams on right now. We're going to take income from my 401k, from my pension, from my Social Security, and, you know, receive this income. Because you want to make sure that you do not outlive your income.
That's right.
But we want to try to accomplish your income goal. Some cases we can surpass that as, you know, as individuals and advisors. Some cases we may be a little bit lower. But nevertheless, if you plan, you know projectively where you will be. And things happen. Things do happen.
That's
so
right.
Sometimes these plans will get altered and, you know, it changes things. But at least you know I'm planning for X. And if you're planning for X, which is that variable, we want to try and do as much as we can to position you to overcome those obstacles when they come. And in some cases, you can't. You can't help things happen in your life that creates a financial hiccup, that you have to go in and take lump sums of money out to overcome that issue that you had to address. But at least 15 years from today, you can begin to look at your overall financial picture and say, this is how much I'm saving. This is what my current value is. This is what my projected rate of returns are. This is what I'm project to receive in Social Security benefits. This is what I project to receive in my pension. Now you can begin to strategize and figure out, where am I to take income from? At what ages should I be looking to take this income from, et cetera?
Okay, so I know this is a loaded question, but at 15 years out, I should have a savings, and I should have some other money some other places, right?
You should, but you're right. That's a loaded question. You should, but, you know, let's take into account you have savings. Let's say you have $30,000 saved. Let's say something happens to you professionally, and it hinders your ability to earn money. Mm-hmm. It could be a disability. It could be a lost job. It could be allegations regarding what you've done in your company that hinders your ability to continue to work. Mm-hmm. Whatever the reason is, you are unable to produce income. Well, that may cause you to deplete most of your savings.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So we take into account what your savings are, but we take into account that's cash on hand. Typically, cash on hand is not receiving any form of growth anyways. It's just cash on hand. Mm-hmm. So we will look at that basically more in the eye of emergency reserve for the short term. Mm-hmm. And we look at what you are contributing and earning interest on for long term. Mm-hmm. But, yes, and to answer your question, we should have savings, but you and I know there's something called life. that will flip. When you think you have the best plan, life shows you, I'm going to try and devour that plan. But because of the grace of God, the unmerited favor, even when life tries to throw you off task and devour you and your financial well-being, the favor of God will always prevail and always be sufficient for us to continue on. And we will get back on track, but you, in some cases, will get thrown off track.
That's
but the
right.
plan helps prepare you, even when you're thrown off track, for the future.
You know what I want to talk about next month is the products that as a person 10, 15 years out from retirement might need to have in place, the insurance products that we might need to have in place today to help us going into retirement, because I'm sure that there are many that they're offered out there, right?
There is a plethora that's offered out there. There's so many companies creating new products, and we can have that dialogue because it's very important.
Mm-hmm.
But then the products may change, but it doesn't matter if they change, because the basis of the product
the foundation.
Will be the same.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So, you know, from a conceptual standpoint, things may change, but if it's an annuity, the basics of the annuity will remain the same. It's just some of the nuances of the annuity may change.
Right.
But death benefit, guaranteed income, that's going to be the same. If it's a mutual fund, you know, some of the new companies within the mutual fund may change, but if it's a growth mutual fund, the growth mutual fund, its philosophy is to grow the assets. So that would be a really good conversation just to help educate of what products you may, should consider to have in your portfolio of financial tools and products.
Especially 10, 15 years out, I think it's important to know what we should be looking at right now. So let's have that conversation. But great conversation about pensions. I tell you, when I read this article, it was just amazing. And I'm glad that you covered all of that with us. Cyrus, tell folks how they can reach you, how they can contact you.
Yes, you can contact us at 770-217-0992, 770-217-0992. Or you can visit us on our website at www.hancockwealthmgmt.com. And that's hancockwealthmgmt.com.
All right. We'll talk to you next month. We're going to talk about those products that we might need to have in place right now. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.